everybody, if we could please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Good evening. Okay, may I have a motion to recess the regular business meeting, conduct a public hearing on the proposed 2018-2019 school budget? Mrs. Del Urba, seconded by Mr. Montato. All in favor? Against? Okay, passes 6-0. Okay, public hearing.
Okay, welcome everybody. We are going to begin tonight with the annual budget hearing, and Dr. Daly has put together a wonderful presentation. Much of the information is similar information we've heard throughout the last couple of months, so take it away.
I don't know about wonderful, but it will be exciting. It's so nice to see all of you come out to hear me speak about the budget. It's nice to see so many new faces. Mr. D'Amico, can you stand up? Okay, tonight is the official, the official culmination of the entire process is the budget and trustee vote, which is scheduled for Tuesday, May 15th. And this year, what's very important is to spread the word that the vote is being moved for the first time from the grade school to the East Gymnasium High School. So we have to all do our best to get that word out. This first slide is a summary of the entire budget. What we feel are the important takeaways. The total budget increase, 17-18 to the proposed 18-19, is 2.64%. The tax levy increase is 3.2%. That 3.2% increase complies with all aspects of the New York State tax cap legislation, and that's important to keep in mind. It's 3.2, not 2%, but because of the exclusions in the formula, our tax levy next year is going to be 3.2 and only requires a simple majority vote. The budget supports all current instructional, extracurricular, fine arts, theater arts, and athletic programs. It includes new instructional opportunities. We're introducing a K-2 FLES program. There will be two new AP offerings next year at the junior-senior high school. And we're also introducing a new Project Lead the Way computer science pathway. There's funding for enhanced district-wide building security. In this building, we're starting a two-phase process of creating a new, upgraded, safer vestibule. Our plan is to expand the 100 cameras we currently have in the district at each building. We've already started installing in all buildings the intruder locks. We'll complete the high school over the summer, and we're working on doing some things at the elementary school, particularly in the area of the cafeteria, to make that space safer. Continuation of the K-12 one-to-one computing initiative. Last year was the first year. This is the second. And the really encouraging part about that initiative is that we've created a funding mechanism to continue to replace the technology we're bringing in with the newer, greater, latest, greatest technology without increasing the budget. And we've done that by creating these simultaneous five-year funding plans where when the last year of a five-year sequence falls off, we have the opportunity to replace it with a similar, very hefty investment without increasing the budget. Okay, now we get into the nitty-gritty, the numbers. I presented this in a summary format of the total expenditures by the major expenditure areas. You have a 17-18 current year compared to the proposed. The dollar change, and then the percent change, which is important to understand because sometimes the big number could be misleading in the overall scope it has on the budget. And you can see down the bottom, the total increase, 1.3 million or 2.64%. presented a little differently. I think a percent of the total budget, and again, you've heard me talk over the years, we're people-driven, all schools are people-driven organizations. The bulk of our expenditures, close to 70%, is in the area of salaries and employee benefits. The numbers here and the percentages of total budget would not be much different from any other school district presenting at this time. Presented in a visual pie chart, again, 70% employee benefits and salaries. Here's the other side of the budget, two-sided process. I just talked about expenditures. Now I'll talk about how are we going to fund that. We're basically going to fund it in three major areas, which will be state aid, fund balance, and property taxes. We do have other income in there. The other income is comprised primarily of the debt service that the Babylon Village Library pays to us to repay the borrowing to do the improvements on the library about 7-8 years ago. The cost or the impact on the average homeowner in Babylon, we're looking at approximately $302 for the entire year, or $25.23 per month. Revenue presented in pie chart. I'd like to show this because we're now in our 7th year of the property tax cap. And what I've highlighted in yellow is how Babylon has fared when compared to all of the districts in Long Island and all of the districts in Suffolk County during that same 7-year period. You can see that our average budget increase over the 7-year period has been 1.89%. The average increase for Long Island school districts, 124, 2.36. Suffolk County, 2.4. So the boards of education have clearly done their job in containing the costs. On the tax levy side, Babylon has increased 2.45%. Now, if you're looking at some of those increases and you're wondering why, if this is a 2% cap, why they're increasing as much as they are, they all go back to the exclusions. And the most common exclusion is voter-approved capital construction debt. We introduced the $26.6 million bond issue. And when the debt came in to start paying it, like a mortgage on your home, that amount is excluded from the cap calculation. So that is why the tax levy in those respective years are higher than 2%, but we were tax cap compliant. So when you're looking at the tax levy, because of the unique situation here in Babylon, our tax levy average over 7 years has been 2.45, which is still very good. But compared to Long Island and Suffolk, it's a little bit higher. And the reason it's a little bit higher is because we did, in that time, a $26.6 million project that required us to go out and borrow. The last column, I don't have to remind you, our yes vote plurality in all of those, in each of those 7 years has been well over, well, with the exception of one of the 68%, but other than that, well over 70. That's the end of my presentation. Again, a reminder, May 15th in the East Gym of the high school is the vote, 6-9. Questions from the board?
Questions? A quick statement. Thanks very much, Linda. Thanks very much, Central Office, for putting the budget together. I was unable to attend the last meeting, and I just wanted to put on the record that as good a job as I think that we did with this budget, I do have one objection, and would have voted no at the last meeting, and that was for the excessive staff. I think that that was something that we should have done, and just wanted to put that out there, put that on the record.
Other questions or comments from the board? Okay.
One comment, just yeah. Now, I'm far from in the parking, but I have a lot of senior citizen friends. We do have a nice, easy parking situation for people to come to, and they're not going to be, you know, irritated, right?
We've,
so I won't get irritated when you come.
Yeah, no, they won't be. Well, I can't say what might irritate some people as opposed to others. Wouldn't irritate me. In some ways, it might be actually closer.
Right.
We've worked with the village. We had a meeting last week. We've gone over parking. The church has agreed to allow us, the poll workers, to park in that little stretch of spots. The village has already said they'll be kind enough to allow staff to park on the north side of Railroad from the entrance down. We're going to free up that bank of spots that are along the east gym for people coming to vote. And then, of course, outside of the normal drop-off and pick-up, you know, cars are going to come, they're going to pull up on Grove Place, and they're going to walk in and vote, and they're going to walk out. You know, it should be, you know, pretty efficient.
Yeah, they're going to take care of the north side of the railroad, just like they do at the Christmas time where the bags. If they do something to indicate that people are going to have a problem if they go on the road.
I'm sorry, what was that?
Are they going to do some kind of, are they going to mark it in some way so that people will know that they can go in without having risk of ticket?
Yes, they're going to park in our lot.
Okay.
I think, again, it's the first, so...
Is there anyone to be outside?
We'll get half the people say it was wonderful, and you might get...
Someone watching it,
facilitating.
We'll have security out there directing. We'll have it marked. Our district clerk will do a wonderful job.
Okay.
As she always does.
Great. Thank you, Dr. Daly.
Thank you, Dr. Daly. Okay. May I have a motion then to adjourn the public hearing on the proposed 2018-2019 school budget? Mrs. Jura, seconded by Mr. Montalto. All in favor? Against? Okay, passes 5-0. May I have a motion to reconvene the regular business meeting? Mr. Benzavega, seconded by Mrs. Donaldson. All in favor? Against? Passes 5-0. 6-0, that's right. On my phone.
And 6-0.
6-0, 6-0. Yes, thank you. Okay, Roman numeral 5, moving on. Approval of the minutes of the regular business meeting of the April 16th and the special meeting of April 24th, 2018 and the work study meeting of April 30th, 2018. May I have a motion to approve the minutes of the regular business meeting of April 16th, special meeting of April 24th and the work study of April 30th, 2018. Mrs. Donaldson, seconded by Mrs. Del Erba. Discussion? All in favor? Against? Okay, passes 6-0. Okay, Roman numeral 6, approval of the Treasurer and Business Office financial reports and extracurricular fund report for March 2018. May I have a motion to approve the Treasurer and the Business Office financial reports and the extracurricular fund report for March 2018? Okay, Mr. Benzavega, seconded by Mr. Montalto. Discussion? All in favor? Okay, against? Okay, passes 6-0. Okay, moving on to agenda item 7, superintendent's report. Mrs. Rousey?
Sure. At this point, I'd like to call up our student delegates to give their monthly report at this time. Thank you for joining us.
In the senior and student council events, the student council members participated in the Polar Plunge on April 21st, raising $722. Plans are also in the works for the annual Shannon Saturno softball game and fundraiser, which will be held on June 1st. In the fine art department, Darby Dreyer, Katie Hernandez, Anna Romero, Paul Romero, and Ali Van Rossum entered artwork into the National Art Educators Association's exhibit for the summer of 2018. Their work will be displayed on an online gallery starting June 25th. They will also be setting up a K-12 art show during the budget vote, so please come out to see all of the great artwork on May 15th in the East Gym at the high school. The art students are excited to be heading to Corning, New York on May 20th to visit Corning Museum of Glass and participate in the glassmaking activities there. They will also be participating in an art drop activity where they will leave small paintings around the Corning community for others to find. Thank you.
In DECA, a summary of the Nationals conference that we went to, me, Agnes Golden, and Ali Van Rossum qualified for DECA ICDC at the state conference in March. We traveled to Atlanta, Georgia with about 19,000 other high school DECA qualifiers. The keynote speaker there for the opening ceremony was Joseph Abboud, fashion designer from Boston, best known for Men's Warehouse, tailored brands. And he spoke about perseverance, a very touching story about his interview with Chanel in France. And I presented a winning community service manual to the judges. Agnes and Ali took tests on their topics and did role plays after solving a particular business problem. In addition, the conference offered the opportunity for students and networks for students all over the United States. I met a couple people from Guam. And we were also It will interact with representatives from a lot of colleges, from Cornell to U Delaware to U.S. Army, the Army as well, as long as corporate representatives. We also visited the Federal Reserve Bank in Atlanta, and we learned about the function of money, the concepts of counter monetary policy, inflation, etc.
In the science department, they'd like to congratulate to 10th grade research students Amanda Gilmore, Julian Navoda, and Emma Ward, who came in second in the division at the Molloy College High School Science Fair. Their project was The Effects of Copper Sulfate on the Life Cycle of Lemon Minor. It investigated how the presence of copper sulfate, a chemical that is permissible by the EPA in certain concentrations, can negatively affect the life cycle of duckweed, a common freshwater plant and integral part of the ecosystem. The girl showed that even in safe concentrations, there is a die-off of the duckweed, which will have a negative ripple effect of the ecosystem, as it is a food source for many organisms, as well as a major provider of oxygen for the water. They placed in the top 15% of over 400 projects at the competition and were honored at a special award ceremony at Molloy College on April 21st. On April 23rd, all 10th, 11th, and 12th grade research students presented their independent research projects at the Long Island Science Congress held at St. Anthony's High School. Students had the opportunity to do three 10-minute presentations to different judges to share their work that they conducted in the research lab throughout the course of the year. Winners for this competition will be announced May 9th. I'd like to congratulate to all students who presented and represented that one well.
On April 20th, the science department, the 10th grade research class visited Stony Brook University's Cancer Center lab and met with two leading researchers working the fight against breast cancer. The trip was facilitated by the relationship with the Babylon Breast Cancer Coalition. And through the commitment to education, our students had an opportunity to see cutting-edge and novel research in action. I actually did this trip when I was in 10th grade. It was actually really, really nice. Students got to interact with the researchers, and students began to understand sort of the day in the life of a researcher, and specifically an oncologist. We got to tour the lab, track its state-of-the-art equipment, and learn what it takes to be a cancer researcher. The students were able to experience novel research and experience the ecosystem of cancer research at Stony Brook. A big thank you to Stony Brook University and Babylon Breast Cancer Coalition for making this impactful day possible. And on Saturday, May 5th, the town of Babylon and Covanta Energy honored 12 students through the Covantage Ecotech Scholarship Program. This program, open to any student residing in the town of Babylon from grades 6 through 12, focuses on science research done in the field, sustainable energy, for environmental-based research. 5 Babylon projects were awarded monetary scholarships. Sophomores Madison Bedouin and Kate Cannon won 7th place, $125 each. Seniors Paige Bisick, Freddie Nocella, and Sophia Sherman won 6th place, $175. 6th grader Sarah Walmack won 4th place, $300. Sophomores Aaron Corcoran, Maddie Graham, and Nikki Santucci won 3rd place, $500. And seniors, me, Greg Wallstrick, and Mike Stefanetta won 2nd place, $750. Science teacher Andrew Schultz was awarded this year's Teacher Award for his impact working with his students. Congratulations to all representative Babylon Science. We're looking forward to seeing next year's projects from our younger students and wish our graduating research seniors welcome their college scientific endeavors. The Science National Honor Society students will be conducting a beach cleanup at Gilgal Beach on Saturday, May 12th. As a part of their community service, students will be removing trash and other debris from both the ocean and bay sides of Gilgal Beach. In addition, on May 31st at 8:30 a.m., the Science National Honor Society will be hosting local college and professional guest speakers here in the library for a panel discussion. They'll have an opportunity to learn about the roads and careers in science. Mr. Izosco and Mr. Marangi will be leading Babylon students on a trip to the Southwest next spring break. Students will be hiking, biking, and kayaking the Grand Canyon, Zion National Park, and Bryce Canyon, home as many other locations in Southwest. Information flyers are available for additional information.
At the English department, 8th grader Ryan Dunn won a statewide essay contest sponsored by New York State Mayor's Conference. The title of the contest was If I Were a Mayor, and Ryan wrote about 3 initiatives that he would implement. He won out of 1,267 entries and is invited to Albany with his family to be recognized. I'd like to congratulate Ms. Beener, Ms. Lorich, and the National English Honor Society for hosting yet another amazing year of Poem in Your Pocket Day. It was a very special day in which the library was transformed into a most dynamic setting for students to present both original and famous poetry. By offering our students a voice and an audience, we offer them an invaluable learning experience. Please join the Babylon Buddies for their annual talent show this Friday from 6 to 8 p.m. in Rowe Hall. And lastly, five students attended the 22nd annual LGBT Network Conference at Stony Brook University on May 1st. The students greatly benefited from this experience and look forward to implementing many of the ideas they learned to further support our school community.
Tonight we're honoring two very special educators. I'd like to give you a little bit of a background on our first person that we'd love to honor. On Thursday, April 26th, Principal Travis Davey and I attended Senator Phil Boyle's Annual Teachers of Excellence Award. It's a beautiful annual event in which we honor a teacher of excellence here in our district. And this year's honoree was Yanni Rodriguez. Yanni teaches first grade at the Babylon Elementary School, and she gave the most eloquent and heartwarming speech of the whole night, I must say. Well, I think everybody there was ready to just embrace and cry and hear her story. It was just lovely. So let me tell you a little bit about Yanni. Her service to the students and families of Babylon Union Free School District has lasted over the last decade, includes her work in the classroom, but also her work on numerous building level committees, district committees. Whenever we need somebody, Yanni is always there. And I could not think of a better honoree than Ms. Rodriguez this year. She is always championing the finest instructional practices to advance student growth. She makes sure that her students meet their benchmarks as first grade learners. And more importantly, she really knows how to make that connection with parents and families of the students that she has in her class. She communicates with ELLs in the native Spanish language. She builds the confidence among students to transfer their knowledge into English. Without further interruption, I am so pleased to present Yanni with a little certificate just to congratulate her. The ceremony at Senator Phil Boyle's reception was just beautiful, but we had to honor you here tonight, and I know you have some of your siblings here again, right? So congratulations. Unfortunately, we're losing him this year to retirement, but I know if I know him well, he will go on and do amazing things with all the years he has left to enjoy retirement. He has been honored with being inducted on May 10th, which is this Thursday night, and we'll be attending. But Mr. Biediger will be inducted to the Suffolk County Athletic Sports Hall of Fame. So congratulations. Suffolk County Football Coaches Association.
Association, and he served many, many years as its president. I don't know if many people here know that. And he's just done amazing work as a teacher, as a football coach on Long Island. I often say you should be coaching at the pro level. And when I got here, I learned that he was a professional football player too. I was a ball player. So I just wanted to congratulate Hans Biedeker this evening. You're not just retiring from Babylon, but you're going on to wonderful things too. And just know we value all the years you spent teaching here. And I, for one, am very excited about joining you on Thursday night to honor you. So I'm looking forward to that. And we just have just a little certificate, but congratulations on behalf of the school district.
Thank you very much.
I could just steal a couple seconds. As Linda said, I'm retiring this year, but you know, I've had a lot of players come back to me and thank me, and I've always thought that working here was a two-way street. I owe Babylon 30, and it's 32 years. I'm very proud. I owe Babylon everything. It's been a wonderful 32 years. Like I was telling my wife as I left, if it was up to me, I'd reapply for my job as it was posted. But what a great community. You know, I still say that the kids haven't changed. The kids are the kids of the kids. They are typical, wonderful, blue-collar Babylon kids. And I was here for 32 years, and I had an opportunity to move, and didn't want to go. So I'm very proud, and I'll always bleed black and orange. So thank you. I wish I could have the administrators back here that who hired me back in the 80s. Some of them are gone. Some of them have passed. But I think, you know, when I talk about Babylon, it's all the same people. It's just a wonderful community. And thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for great work and great career.
Thanks.
So
you're
going to move on to news and notes and updates? Okay, great. Thank you. Okay, so very quickly, the budget newsletter has been delivered to all resident mailboxes. It's also posted on the web for anybody who wants to take a look at that newsletter. Additionally, we should have received the property tax report card in the mail, as well as the yellow postcard on the new polling location. So for any of you who are out there, just continue to remind everybody that polling, you know, voting goes on here at the East Gym, not at the grade school this year. Additionally, a summary of the year's end goals have been posted to the main page of the website last week. I'd also like to recognize two wonderful kids. One of them is here tonight, but 2 weeks ago we had a lovely celebration celebrating our valedictorian, Denise Farouk, who's here. Wave. And our salutatorian, Sophia Sherman. Both Denise and Sophia will be recognized at our June Board of Education meeting. All right, so hopefully you've gotten those letters to your parents' attention, and we'll see you at the June meeting as well. This week, we also will see the start of advanced placement exam administrations. We do anticipate a high percentage of students sitting for the exams, as that has been a real big focus this year and a priority. We did offer prep courses and all AP courses, both actually all after school, early morning hours, late evening hours, and attendance was taken by each instructor. So we really gave a lot of opportunities for kids to come out and take those prep courses. Also in the mailboxes, we delivered an AP newsletter. It was our spring newsletter that detailed for residents all the new AP practices as we move into the 2018-2019 school year. At this point, I'd like to just turn it over to Mr. D'Amico for a minute. Mr. D'Amico went to the Southold High School on Friday to witness their broadcasting conference and awards. And I know video production and broadcasting is something I really want us to focus on as we move into the 1920 school year. So can you just give us a brief summary on your experience?
This event was called BASH, Broadcast Awards for Senior High. And I really didn't know what to expect. It was an amazing event. Extremely student-centered. The the superintendent, David Gamberg, was decked out in a tuxedo to kind of show the formalness of the awards part of the ceremony, of the event. It opened up with a student film that his kids had made. And everybody there, they were school officials, teachers, administrators, there with a team of students. And they all had broadcasting teams or clubs at their schools. The keynote speaker was Paulo Sandoval from CNN. They had one breakout session, and they had picked where all of the groups would go. I was back with Paulo again, and he did an amazing speech. He showed a couple of clips from CNN, and they talked about what was important about the clips, his style of reporting, and what he thought could have been better and what he thought he did well. The questions that students had were amazing. You could tell that they were all very much enriched by the broadcasting clubs that they had and that they were involved with back in their district. And following lunch, they had the award ceremony, and it was much like the Academies. There was a lot of fanfare and excitement. So it was a really cool event, very inspiring in terms of, you know, us getting something going like that, too. I think it would be great.
Well, thank you for attending.
It was great.
On the district's behalf. Very quickly, the SCOPE Summer Enrichment Program. Last week, we advised all K-6 families of a new and unique summer enrichment opportunity that we're offering through SCOPE this summer. It's a four-week enrichment program for students entering grades K-6. So if you know anybody, they are asking that registrants register by May 16th, okay? That's also up on the website. Congratulations to all students who were inducted into the National Junior Honor Society, the National Honor Society, as well as the English Art and Thespian Honor Societies last month. Special congratulations to all of our students who were recognized as scholarship winners back last week at the annual Babylon Community Scholarship event and fashion show. Great night was had by all, and we had many, many students participating in the walk down the runway. Also in mid-April, Dr. Daly and I led a community forum centered on school safety. We hosted people from the Suffolk County Police Department of Homeland Security who presented along with us, in addition to Steve Ballone, county executive, who was also very involved in the night. We really appreciated him joining us. Overall, it was a very good turnout of residents, mostly parents, and feedback was positive. In addition, a copy of that presentation is also on our website. And then finally, an e-blast went out back in mid-April regarding the newly approved school calendar for next year that was shared with families and staff as well. Okay, and that is it for my report. And we have a presentation. We have a presentation tonight. We are very happy to have our high school team with us here tonight. I know they worked with Mr. D'Amico in putting this together, but we're very pleased to offer our students the opportunity to study occupational education at the Wilson Tech BOCES site. So without further ado, I'll turn it over.
Yes, so I'm just going to say a few words. We were asked to talk a little bit about Wilson Tech, so I enlisted the help of our building leadership, Mr. Cerrone, the principal, Ms. Mangoni, our assistant principal, and Mr. Murphy, the director of guidance. Wilson Tech is an instructional program offered by BOCES, and I thought I would just start by saying a few words about BOCES, because that's something we hear a lot, that I'm not sure people always understand how that operates and what it's about. We talk a lot about the importance and the effectiveness of shared services, and that's exactly what BOCES was built to provide. BOCES stands for the Board of Cooperative Educational Services. It was something that was designed and implemented by the New York State Legislature in 1948. There's 37 BOCES statewide, three on Long Island, Nassau BOCES, Western Suffolk BOCES, and Eastern Suffolk BOCES. We are one of 17 other component districts that makes up Western Suffolk BOCES. Anytime there's two districts or more that have a need, BOCES can help with that and provide it through shared services. Those things can be instructional, like professional development or special ed programs, or regional summer schools, or literacy and RTI, or they can be non-instructional things like helping in the business office, helping with transportation, food services, and even energy cooperatives. So Wilson Tech is a career and technical education program that's through Western Suffolk BOCES, and it helps prepare students for skills that are needed in today's workplace. And so with that, I'm going to start by turning it over to Mr. Murphy. He's going to give us a broader perspective of how Wilson Tech works.
Thank you. Thanks, Adam. I have the opportunity to speak briefly, just give everyone a brief overview of what Wilson Tech means to our students, to our faculty, to our administration. We do have a Wilson Tech liaison here. It's one of my counselors, Ms. Tracy Lesnick. She's not able to be here with us tonight, but she serves as our liaison and attends monthly advisory meetings with all the 17 other districts, and they meet monthly to update us all on everything new that's coming our way, any new programming, any changes to the calendar, anything we need to know about tech. We really rely on Ms. Lesnick to bring that information back to us here at the school. So, like Mr. D'Amico said, we are one of 18 other school districts in the Western Suffolk BOCES program, which is now Wilson Tech. What I can say, I've been involved in tech as a counselor and formerly as the Wilson Tech liaison in my former role as a counselor. It has changed. It has evolved. It continues to increase in rigor. The curriculum changes every single year. There are more and more programs being offered. What I remember being BOCES or tech back in the day is completely different. I know we've talked a little bit about what type of student would go to tech, who would be your typical Wilson Tech student. I really couldn't paint that picture for you specifically anymore, because I think it's such a wide variety of students. It's not just a student who's bored with high school anymore. It's just not that kid. It can be a kid who wants to graduate here and is going to graduate with honors and an advanced regent diploma. It could be a kid who's walking through the halls and just really isn't interested in your day-to-day nine periods, social studies, English, math, and is looking for a spark, looking for something that really hits home, and it might be automotive, culinary, or something else that really helps carry them not only through high school, but beyond. So for us, there are three different campuses that we utilize. There's the Dix Hills campus, straight up 231, which is the main campus. There's also a campus on Route 110 in the Farmingdale area. We call it the Republic Airport campus. And then there's one in Huntington, Manor Plains. So the majority of our students would go to Dix Hills just because geographically it's the most desirable for us and it's the closest. That being said, not all programs are offered there. So in particular, one of the programs that's offered at the Republic Airport is their aviation pilot and their aviation their repair. So they work on the engines. I had the opportunity to go over there about a month and a half ago when we took kids over on a visit and actually watched the students work with the flight simulators and watch the students log hours and really learn about what these students were doing. It's unbelievable. It really is. Just for instance, some of the programs that are out there right now, we have culinary, which has been around forever, auto body repair, police science or criminal justice that helps kids prepare to become police officers or work in that type of a field. Certified personal training is a newer one. There's obviously, like I said, culinary. It's just a wide array of programs throughout. And I think there's almost something for everybody. What happens here, the kids can first be open and explore Wilson Tech as early as ninth grade. They offer something called Surf Tech. And it's basically offered in the fall and in the spring, where students can go over after school and they can go over and get a little bit of an idea about what the programs are. It's an exploratory program. So that is offered twice a year. Students can go over and check out what's going on over at Tech, what's new, maybe see if it's something that they might want to look forward to down the road. But really, we start to talk about it in students' sophomore year. Our students, like most other districts, the students are eligible to attend during 11th and 12th grade. So we start that process in 10th grade. In February, we have an orientation here where someone from Tech comes over and we invite the students down. This year we're in Row Hall for back-to-back periods, and kids had the opportunity to come down and learn all about the different programs. What does the day look like? What time do you leave and go? When do you get back? What are you studying when you're there? She shows a video. They do a really nice job of painting a picture of what life would be like when you're there. As a follow-up, if students feel that they're interested, they have the opportunity to go on a visit. And we take a bus and we go to the three different campuses, and they can pick a different program and spend a morning there and actually sit in the classrooms and experience it for themselves that day. After that, they'll come back, and we're right in the middle of scheduling. Ms. Mangoni and Ms. Serrano are knee-deep in scheduling right now, and they meet with their counselors to figure out, hey, is Wilson Tech something I want to do? Because we need to know that. They're gonna, how it works is you're either over there in the morning or in the afternoon. So they have AM Tech and PM Tech. So if you're over there in the morning, then you're gonna come back here in the afternoon, and we have to try to fit all your other classes that you need to graduate in here or vice versa. So the students come back, they go on a visit. If they like it, we give them an application. The parents are informed. Conversation happens with the counselors and mom and dad, whoever else, and they figure, okay, we're gonna go over to Tech and we're gonna study culinary next year. Then it becomes a little bit more difficult to fit English, social studies, math, science, phys ed, and all these other programs, things they need to graduate here in only half a day. Sometimes there are certain programs that have integrated academics within them, so you can earn a credit of English, a credit of science within that program. If it's not possible to do that, we can also do something called a pullout. So if we say, okay, we cannot get a student a math class here because it's just not fitting in the schedule, we can build in programs over there so they actually get the math credit that they need to graduate high school, and they don't have to forfeit anything. So they work really well with us. It's an unbelievable program. I know Mr. Serrone and Ms. Mangoni actually did the fun part, and they get to work with the kids, and you're going to see some of the testimony of what Tech means to these young men and women. And I can honestly say that throughout my 10 years, either as a counselor or in this role, it's changed students. It's saved some students. There are some students that I think maybe we might have some more students that you want to say, hey, Tech might be for you. They're doing everything from old school carpentry to game design, to engineering, to robotics type stuff. It's not what it used to be. It's cutting edge. And there really is something for everybody. I wish I had some of the Tech skills that some of these kids are coming out with. They're coming out employable. They're getting jobs, you know, not only summer jobs and internships, they're actually getting careers. You know, I know we had some meetings with a few students now who are interested in doing HVAC, the heating and venting and air conditioning. And they have some jobs lined up already. Careers, you know, making $60, $70 an hour, and the people over there are helping place these young men and women. So I hope, you know, I can try to answer any questions. I know Mr. Serrone has been going to talk a little bit more. Tech is a game changer for some students, and it really, really helps some of our students who might have been struggling throughout the years and just didn't find that thing that really hit home and gives them a spark, gives them something to look forward to. And what we see is if they're doing well there, they end up doing better here when they come back.
That's great.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr.
Serrone, Ms.
Megan. Good evening. So before we get into the little video of PowerPoint we have, which is twofold, one part to see what students are doing over at Tech in their own voice, and the other part is to show you when you see it that we really do need a TV club here.
Have you seen the way we filmed it? Yes. Please don't judge our filming. We filmed them in our office ourselves. Tech has always been a personal thing for myself. My husband and I went to high school together. He went to Tech. He is a Mason in the Cement Masons Union, and up until I got a job in administration, he was making more money than me out the gate. And school is just not for everybody, and he was definitely one of those people, and I see a lot of those qualities in our kids, and the three boys that we interviewed are a wide variety from different ages and personalities and also different programs, and I think they kind of give a great breadth of kind of who our Tech kids are. They were adorable. We did like 5 rounds because they wanted to look perfect for you. So
we do every year since I've been here at Babylon, I do a day in the life of a Tech kid in the fall. Even when Steve was here, so I'll either go, the assistant principal will go. Steve went 1 year, but he only went to culinary and they kicked him out of there. Remember that?
Never mind that.
You went for the paraffin dip right out of you. I got the nails done.
No, that's
right?
What I did.
It's really kind of fun.
Dip is awesome.
We go there, we take the bus with them in the morning. They can't believe a principal wants to get on the bus with them. And then you walk around, talk to them. They show you all the projects they're doing in school. And they really do a lot of work in the integrating the other subject areas into Tech. They even talk about it. So
show you a little bit about. This is just getting you started at Wilson Tech, why go to Tech. I mean, there's all the different advertising, graphic design, aircraft technology, architectural CAD, audio, auto body, automotive tech, aviation, carpentry, certified personal training, cosmetology, very big, construction, electricity, criminal justice, culinary arts, robotics now, childhood, early childhood education, and so on. So first person, he's a junior, Jared Whitson. Here's Jared.
Good afternoon. Tell us about yourself.
My name is Jared Whitson. I'm a 11th grader here at Babylon Traditional High School, and I go to school in Big Stowe's Boasters.
Can you tell us a little bit about the Boasters experience?
I say it's a really good experience. I think it's cool that I can hop on a bus in the morning and go to that school for half the day and come back and just go to regular school and learn something that I want to do in my life.
Can you tell us about the program of study?
I take HVAC/A, which stands for heating, ventilation, air conditioning, and plumbing. And basically what I do there is I learn anything from working on a boiler, servicing a boiler, to fixing an AC unit, to...
If you notice, his body posture got really confident when he started talking about his work.
That's awesome. What about your career aspirations? Has Wilson Tech helped you with your future goals?
Yeah, actually there's certain certifications that you get from completing the 2 years in the class, and one of them happens for my trade is the OSHA 10, which helps me get a job and have a certification for companies, so I don't have to go and take a class by myself. It's just all through the campus itself, and taking that class normally would be $300-$400, but over there I get it for free, and that's one of the main components to get a job out of the industry.
That's great. And finally, can you just take us through a typical day for a BOCES student?
A normal day there would be, for my case, would be, you know, I get off the bus around 7:55, 8 o'clock, depending on traffic. The pledge is probably around 8:10, and then from then on, we do about an hour of theory, which is sitting in the class from, you know, just book learning, book stuff. And after that, for the remainder hour, an hour and a half, we work in the shop and pretty much practice anything we want. Some of us do specific projects, some of us do very complex projects, and some of us, you know, we're there to be serious, some of us, and that happens to be me.
That's awesome. Thank you so much.
No problem.
All right, so, Jared, again, only a junior, his vocabulary on his trade is amazing. He comes into our office all the time.
He's twice a week.
Sharing projects, and I have sheet metal in my office now, and I don't really know what to do with it. But just recently, he brought me so we were talking about summer, doing an internship or something like that, he brought me his resume, and I said, where would you go with this? And he's like, that's one thing that he wished, you know, they could do a little bit more with his resume. So he gave me his resume, I called two different HVAC companies here, faxed them his resume, and they're critiquing it for him, and they're filling him in on what they're looking for. So look, we can still help, even though that's not our trade, we can still help students here after BOCES. This is Simon Gimbeck, senior, criminal justice, and he's going to be going into the armed forces after high school.
Hi, good afternoon. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Great announcement.
My name is Simon Gimbeck. I'm from Babylon High School. I go to Wilson Tech Republic Airport campus. Majoring in criminal justice. My future goals are to become a police officer, hopefully. And right now I'm enlisted in the Marine Corps. I leave on school.
Tell us about a typical day at BOCES.
A typical day would be we get to the class, we do a current event, we can be on anything we really want. It has to be criminal justice related, or it has to do with law or anything of that nature. And then everybody would get a chance to read their articles, and then we'd talk about it and get on with our lessons and what we're doing. So it could be like, you know, penal law, it could be traffic stops, it could be
This is why we need a broadcasting club.
and even in jail, we really love that stuff.
Great. Can you tell us how Wilson Tech has helped you with your future goals?
Wilson Tech has helped me a lot, helped me understand what police go through and what the steps are in the criminal justice system. It also opens up the doors for many job opportunities that you want to do. So there could be like, people that want to do CBP border patrol, the SWAT team, the canine, regular police officers, lawyers, judges, anything criminal justice related.
That's great. Thank you, Simon.
Thank you.
And then our last kid.
Now, before you do that, is he looking at the MPs? What's he?
Yes.
He's joining the Marines. So.
He's joining the Marine Corps, yeah. His goal is to do border patrol
border
after
yeah.
Marines. Yeah.
And Liam, Jr., I would have guessed Liam wouldn't have said much at all, but because it was computer networking and he knows so much about it, he didn't want to stop talking.
Good afternoon.
Tell us a little bit about yourself.
My name is Liam McEwen. I'm 11th grade. I've been on Babylon all my life. It's my first year at Wilson Tech.
Can you tell us a little bit about the program of study at Wilson Tech?
So my program is computer networking. Right now I'm in the first year, which is all the basics. And you need to go through that basic course in order to get into networking. Right now it's mostly building and learning all the basics you need for any IT course.
That's great. Can you take us through a typical day at BOCES?
A typical day for me is get on the bus at 7:20, stay there till 10:30. It's the first half of my school day. When we first get into class, teacher usually puts up a do now on the board. Do that for half an hour, and the rest of the day will either be a lab where you work physically and you work with other people, or we'll just be studying new topics for future testing quizzes.
Good. And can you tell us how Wilson Tech has helped you with your future goals?
Wilson Tech has helped me because I always thought that I wanted to do something IT related, but everything IT related you need to go to college for because they're very advanced classes. It's not like an after school like program or elective, it's a main course. And by doing this, it really showed that I want to do something computer wise, the networking, and helped me discover that I want to go into cybersecurity for college.
That's great. Liam, thank you. Great job.
So Liam really wants to follow up. He wants to do both. He loves the hands-on approach there, computer networking, but he realizes that a four-year degree is really going to help him in that field.
And
that's just some other traits. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you. It's exciting to hear their passion behind their choices. It's just wonderful.
To the exploratory
program?
Yes. I have a question. I agree with everything you guys said. The program is extraordinary. One of my favorite nights is the night where they do the dinner and you get to see all the kids in action. It's a fabulous night.
How do we identify the students who may be interested in this program? Do they have to come to you, or are you kind of sizing them up throughout, you know, the year kind of thing? I mean, the advantage we have, you know, it's a big place, but kind of a small school. You guys know the kids. How do we identify the kids who might benefit from this program? This is really,
I think a lot of that comes from their counselor relationships.
Yeah.
Our counselors really do a great job of kind of communicating with kids, communicating with families, and kind of feeling kids out and offering them the option. Hey, I've known you for the past couple of years. You've mentioned computers to me a lot. Do you want to check this program out?
I mean, the advantage we have with the 7 through 12 is, you know, you catch them when they're really as their babies, but then they're starting to track and you can kind of see it. I mean, I just think it's extraordinary.
I mean, the counselor is definitely the first people that will bring up, hey, this might be a great fit for them. We also push into the English classes and let the kids know, hey, this is what's going on. This is when the person from Wilson Tech is coming. Come down period 2 or period 3. Watch the video, let the woman speak to you. Don't miss this orientation so that the professional, the woman who's there, the counselor from tech can speak to them one-on-one and really show them what the program is all about.
And as I said, there's a lot of interaction still between the kids once, you know, somebody like Liam or Jared, you know,
definitely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the, some of them can come back and take, you know, full courses, 18 yeah. courses, or whatever. Mm-hmm. A lot of times, you know, we find out about kids that are, and I would hate to say it, but most 9-period days don't really fit into the tactile kinesthetic sense of a student, and a BOCES tech program does. So mm-hmm. those kids are just, they want to explore, they want to get their hands dirty. We're not a giant high school, so we don't have a whole bunch of labs like that. We do a great job at the labs that we do have. But
And that list that you put up of the programs they offer
amazing.
Has probably, yeah. that's increased so
yeah.
much probably.
Yeah.
In like
so they're all tech.
Yeah,
all that,
yeah it's changed.
Tech yeah.
So as Mr. Murphy pointed out, the type of student that fits the profile of the typical Wilson Tech student has so broadened because that list is capturing so many different types of kids.
I was scared that my son, once he took digital video editing here, that was like kind of tapped out because we didn't have broadcast or anything. So he went to tech for 2 years, you know, had to do like a professional TV studio. And when he went to college, he really had an advantage because he had already been trained on programs that, you know, other college students didn't know yet.
That's great. Well, I want to thank you for all at the high school for doing this tonight and also encouraging students that these are opportunities. Thank you. Well done.
Thanks.
Thank you very much. Okay, so moving on to agenda item 8, committee reports. Audit committee, Mrs. Donaldson.
Hello, everyone. So the external auditors were in the district offices today, starting their preliminary work for the next audit cycle. And when I have more, I will let you know.
Very nice. Thank you. Finance committee, Mrs. Jours.
Okay, I'm a nice bulb here now.
Buildings and grounds, Mr. Benzavega.
Thanks, Trisha. We met on the 30th, this for a study session. As Pete mentioned briefly, we are replacing the locks on the school building doors, classroom doors, throughout the district. I think the elementary and the grade school are done. We're working on the high school. How we call it the first step, because we've always been aware of security, but an important step, and that will continue. Pace, and as Linda also mentioned, you know, we've done the security seminar, there will be people coming in to look at us more. That's one of those things that's evergreen, it's not going away anytime soon, so which is good. We had SEC come in, they were discussing the summer project, work begins on the 25th of June. So the school's over, that's when they're trying to do some preliminary stuff now. We've got the paint project in the high school, which is not part of the bond. We've been doing that ourselves. Tony Ciervo, I think Peter, you guys have we actually nailed down a vendor on that yet, or is that still pending? I know you sent some bits.
I can't tell you 100%. I'm pretty certain that he's already has a vendor who's on BOCES contract.
Great.
Yeah.
I will have to approve it when that's fine.
Just a question, are the village programs going to be able to be offered in the high school again, or are we moving those?
Actually, it's a good question. We put together a whole spreadsheet, which we reviewed with all building principals, I think it was last week. We are housing the gymnastics program here in this building. In the elementary school, we'll have this summer school going on, as well as the SCOPE program. We're using Row Hall and the music suites for the grade 3, 4, 5 music program. And Row Hall will be used in case of a rain date for the village concert in the park series when they have rain. We said they could use Row Hall, but that's pretty much it. Also in the elementary school, there's a week of a wrestling camp in August, but that's pretty much
it. Basketball
is off-site.
Okay.
Basketball, right?
Outdoor courts.
Okay.
Okay.
Sorry,
I didn't mean to interrupt you. Mr.
Benzvegan,
any further?
I was just saying, wrestling camp in August, it's going to be hot.
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
A couple of other things. Tony had mentioned that they had done some of the grading over at the grade school and elementary school fields. As folks will remember, we had some drainage installed there by the village in the winter. Summer, January. I took a walk over there on Sunday and kind of intentionally waited until after it rained a little bit. Good work so far, but I think that's going to be another one of those things we're going to need to keep an eye on and consider it a work in progress, because some of the stuff is like filled in low spots, which is really just going to get washed away. I mean, we're, at some point, we really are going to need to go over there and seriously grade it, and that'll be a larger discussion, I'm sure, on a larger project. But just to kind of bring it up to where it needs to be. And one last thing, this is something I spoke with the superintendent and principal about. As of May 25th, have you nailed down the date on the plaque reinstall?
It'll be finalized by Wednesday.
Okay. So Al and John Taylor were the sons of the American Legion. Some of you will remember that we had the plaque that was hanging out.
It's October, I think, isn't it, for 10 o'clock on Friday?
That's what we're looking at.
Okay. I wasn't sure if it was definitely there. Anyhow, you remember that the plaque that was hanging up on the wall outside World Hall, which had been painted and kind of over the period of years has been taken down, was refinished, and it looks extraordinary. So they're going to be planning that on Friday, the 25th. Now, one of the things that we're going to want to do on that to make sure there is a veteran who actually knows people who went to school with people who are on that plaque and wants to attend the ceremony, which I think for the students would be kind of an extraordinary experience. I just wanted to flag that for everybody. That would be a special day, I think, for the students and the district. So,
okay. That
is all I have.
Thank you. Technology Committee, Mr. Montalto?
We have not met, so I have nothing to report.
Thank you. Okay. Curriculum Committee, Mrs. Del Orbo?
We're going to be meeting on the 24th to go over finalizing the teaching agreements.
Thank you. And Paul? Policy Committee, Mr. Bryan could not be here tonight, so Mrs. Ross, are you going to comment
sure,
on the
yes.
policies in progress?
Yes. I just want to make a note. The Curriculum Committee, District Clerk is saying it's May 14th.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. There's another one.
Okay.
Sorry.
It's okay. We had our meeting on May 3rd. The Policy Committee met to discuss the last outstanding policy for this year. That's policy 5420, which is student health services. This is a policy we just did a second reading on a few months ago. The state just came down with new language they want in again. So the new language reflects different years in which students will have to submit a health certificate. So what I will do, I will send this policy home and use the notes on Friday, red marked for all of you to see the changes in red that we have to add in. The new version from NISBA also includes language in there to include homeless students and their immunization records. That's a new addition to the policy. So in case you're wondering why we're doing this again, we just got new information from New York State School Boards. Right? And we will have no more meetings for the remainder of the school year. So you'll see a first reading of this policy at the June meeting and an adoption at the reorg.
Okay, moving on to agenda item 9, board agenda items. Questions from visitors on agenda items? Please approach the podium and state your name.
Good evening, Robert Sherrill. A couple quick questions. Items number 11, 12, and 13. Those are, credits to towards the bond work?
That is correct, yes.
Could you please state which, roughly which one is for what? Because it's not really stated, 11, 12.
Yeah, okay. If you just give me a minute to get to those. All right. Let's see. Okay, so the first one is a credit for $40,000. That is from Road Work Ahead was the contractor. This was base bid SC2. This was for a deduct $40,000, which we didn't use for soil removal and replacement, as well as erosion sediment control. So
where was that, the field?
That, hold on a second.
I'm kind of just generally looking for the area.
It doesn't really say, oh, but Babylon Memorial Grade School, masonry and window repairs. That's what it says.
And I guess.
The next one was a credit for $28,186 for the interior kitchen renovations at Babylon Junior Senior High School from Banker Electric. This was, again, unforeseen costs that they originally, you know, going to build that we didn't end up using. And the next one was for the amount of $44,950 in a credit. This was from Stalco Construction for the kitchen and serving line renovations at the Babylon Junior Senior High School for a number of items that we didn't tap into with that project.
Okay, thank you. And number 14 and 15, they're basically the deductions from one covers the additional charge on the
you
other.
You got it. Yep.
Okay, and last question, the donation on item number 20.
Yes.
That's a dollar amount. What's that?
Correct.
Is there any specification?
The My Green Great Guy Foundation is giving the district $906. That is specifically from them to offset the cost for students unable to pay for their AP exams.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, other questions from visitors on agenda items? Seeing no further questions, any board discussion on agenda items?
For item 20, is that for this year? Or the donation for the AP?
It is. For this year, yes.
Did we ask about it? Like, did we ask for it, or did
you know,
come up with the number of 10 tests?
I have to find that out for you. I don't have the answer right now.
Thank you.
Well, yeah. I was going to ask a question. First of all, thank you to the Mike Green Foundation. Second of all, we're sure that we don't have kids who aren't taking those tests because they can't afford it, right? We know, especially with the policy change, that anybody who wants to take the test can take the test.
I know Guidance has been reaching out to the... is Mr. Murphy still here? He just left. I know Guidance has done a lot of outreach this past season. I will have to get you the answer for that.
All right, thank you.
I have one question. I'm just out of curiosity. The obsolete items we're getting rid of. What do we do with that? Are we like able to donate to like a school in Oklahoma that...
You know, they're so... No, it's a good question. They're so broken. The curriculums don't even align to the standards anymore, and the hardware is completely broken where it can't even be fixed or used. So,
they were showing us one of his classes with broken chairs and
any other discussion, board discussion on agenda items? Okay, seeing no further discussion, may I have a motion to omnibus items 1 through 20? Mrs. George, seconded by Mrs. Delerba. Discussion? All in favor? Against? Passes 6-0. May I have a motion to approve items 1 through 12? Donald, 1 through 20? My numbers are an issue tonight. Mrs. Donaldson, seconded by Mr. Benzavega. Discussion? All in favor? Against? Passes 6-0. Okay, we do have an additional motion to approve tonight. That is item number 21. Mrs. Rossi, I'm going to let you read that item, please.
Yes, it reads, resolved that the Board of Education hereby appoints Dr. Randall Solomon as school medical inspector pursuant to Section 913 of the New York State Education Law in order to evaluate the fitness of the employee named in the attached confidential Schedule A to perform her duties, and be further resolved that pursuant to Section 913 of the New York State Education Law, the Board of Education directs the employee named in the attached confidential Schedule A to appear for an examination in the offices of Dr. Solomon on Wednesday, May 30th, 2018 at 9 o'clock a.m. or at a rescheduled date and time as determined by the superintendent.
Okay, may I have a motion to approve item number 21? Mr. Benzavega, seconded by Mrs. Jors. All in favor? Against? Passes 6-0. Okay, moving on to agenda item 11, other business. Mrs. Rossi?
I'm not going to have you will talk about it tonight, but I would like to put out a date for all of you. We'd like to run the reorganization meeting on July 10th, but I don't know your summer schedules at this point. So if the board members could email me their summer availability. We have to hold the board reorganizational meeting within the first 13 days of July. So we were talking about July 10th, but you'll have to get me your dates, okay? We would like all board members there. And I would also like, once I get your summer schedules, I do want to really nail down a retreat date because I do think it's very important that the entire Board of Education is there for the retreat.
Do you have any specific date in mind?
No, not yet, because okay. I guess I need to see where you all are, you know.
Okay. Maybe okay. We could all just send an email this week about what dates may punch good, you know, and that way we can.
I'm still waiting here about college freshman orientation. Right. I don't know which date, but
And I just also wanted to know, not to hone in on, but speaking about dates that we are going to meet, and that will be posted next Tuesday at 7:30. The board, we're going, then that will be posted in terms of an executive.
It will be posted a special meeting.
A special meeting, okay. Any additional business?
No, that's a one.
Okay. And that's at 7:30.
That will be at 7:30, yes. That will be posted. Okay, moving on to agenda item 12, representatives of organizations, please approach the podium and state your name. Okay, item 13, questions or comments from visitors. Please approach the podium and state your name.
Robert Stroke, how come agenda item 21 wasn't on the sheet here?
Because it was a last minute, don't you want to identify that? It was within.
It was a last minute personnel issue from today.
I got to ask, how come you don't sit closer to the podium?
Why don't you put the podium in the middle and leave an aisle so I don't have to walk through it?
Fair enough.
Okay, any other questions or comments from visitors? Okay, see no further questions. Future board meetings. We will have a work-study meeting on Monday, May 21st, 7:30 in the library, and then a regular business meeting followed that on Monday, June 11th of 2018, 7:30 in the library. May I have a motion to adjourn? This is yours. This is Del Urba. All in favor? That passes 6-0. Thank you so much. Have a good evening. Whoa. I was like, the clinic was like,